Chapter 21. Rouge as Aspen is wandering dark tunnels. Rouge didn't dare look around properly until the door was firmly closed behind her, shutting out the sound of ominous music, fireballs, magic missiles, and exploding arrows. The quick glance she'd sent through the door had told her there were no immediate threats, but she hadn't really taken in any details. Now that she did, she was almost impressed with the sheer amount of gaudy self-glorification that Chris seemed capable of spewing everywhere. Well, she supposed that it was probably Harris's team's fault. It was obvious after the way they desecrated poor Mr. Ham and Cheese's adorable fluffy cuteness that this group had no shame, and she fully intended to let them know how she felt about it. They clearly needed some player feedback, because this was ridiculous. Everything around her was obsidian, gold, or carmine. Not a speck of lighter color showed anywhere, and as a result the walls seemed to loom around her shoulders, even though the hall in which she stood was at least 8 feet wide and tall. Glowstones set in recessed golden sconces covered by carved obsidian grates cast intricate shadows everywhere, making the leering carvings and statues of men and monsters to seem like they were watching her as she walked around examining them. A shudder ran up her back as she looked up into the nearly human visage of the largest figure, whose image was repeated over and over, with arms outstretched in benediction over his horrifying minions. It was hard to tell coloration with the extremely limited palette the artists had to work with, but the hard golden jaw and short dark hair definitely seemed masculine. The blood-red fangs in a soft-lipped mouth and equally sanguine eyes looked out from under heavy golden brows, definitely had a manly vibe. In fact, hadn't she seen that face somewhere before? Silas' little voice broke into the girl's reverie as she was trying to follow up on the niggling hint of recognition. The bat was whispering in spite of the fact that only Rouge could hear her. Rouge? Aren't you supposed to be in stealth? Rouge's eyes widened and she looked down at herself. Sure enough, instead of being slightly unfocused and faded, her body was as sharply visible as ever. They must have a spellbreaker ward on the door. Darn it, I should have caught that. Thanks, Silas. Quickly she tried to trigger stealth. Nothing happened. She tried it 3 more times, each time with the same result. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, she muttered, pulling up her list of skills. Sure enough, stealth was grayed out, as were sneak, lockpicking, and for some reason dig, which was one of the random skills she'd gotten while helping Aspen on his farm last fall and winter. On a hunch, she looked at her spells too, and saw that substitution was also unavailable. That is so uncool, Harris, you cheater. Who is Harris? Silas' confused voice pulled her back to the present. Rouge shook her head. Sorry, I was kind of talking to myself. Harris is a guy they first work with in my world, and I'm really starting to not like him. But why would you? Rouge broke in before her little friend's curiosity pulled them into a conversation she really didn't want to have. It was one thing to tell the natives that travelers came from a different world through magic, and quite another to say that Rouge's people had actually created this whole world. That would make Harris like a real god to the natives. Rouge shuddered at the thought. Reaching into the neck of the black hood she still wore, Rouge gently retrieved the bat. Silas, I'm going to need you to scout ahead. Just stay up as close to the ceiling as you can, and if you see anything alive, let me know and come right back, okay? If anyone sees you, just yell and come back. Rouge sent a glance at the closed door, which was now several feet down the hall behind her. I don't think going back is really an option, so we're just going to have to be extra sneaky without skills. Which we can totally do because we're awesome. Silas grinned a little bat grin, her flat nose and big ears twitching. Her beautiful golden eyes shone in the partially occluded light. The small creature flashed one wing thumb in the most adorable thumbs up ever, and then she dropped off of Rouge's hands and flew down the hall. A few extra wing beats later, she was hugging the ceiling, her slight dark furred body already hidden among the bas-relief figures crowding the space, just as Rouge had hoped. They went on, with Silas proudly in the lead, until the bat chirped a warning in Rouge's mind. Door, she said. It's closed, but I think I hear sounds from the other side. I'm coming, Rouge sent, picking up her pace slightly. No sign of anyone around? Nothing. Just more of these ugly carvings. Rouge could picture the way Sila's nose wrinkled when she smelled something disgusting, and she had to restrain a giggle in spite of the seriousness of the situation. Rouge could see the door now. It was even larger than the one they'd entered through, and that one had been easily 7 feet high. This one nearly brushed the 8-foot ceiling, and the wood was a deep black inlaid with a gold image of, who else, good old Beneficent Chris himself. Swallowing hard, Rouge looked back and forth between the door and the nice tacky but so far innocuous hallway down which they'd been traveling. Honestly, yes, she wanted to find more information, and she definitely wanted to find Vaughn's family. Because he would be so grateful. Squee! But she felt naked without stealth, and she was sorry Silas pretty much alone, and she just wanted to know how to get out of this place since she obviously wasn't going back out the way they got in, and when was her dad going to log on? She huffed out a sharp breath, closing her eyes for an instant. Easy there, it was going to be fine. Just a game? Though? She sent a look up at where she could barely make out Silas hidden in the curve of Chris' benevolent arm. Silas, if anything happens to me, I want you to run. Fly. But Silas tried. No. I mean it. Remember, I'm a traveler. Even if I die, I'll be back tomorrow. You have to get out. Rouge had a sudden idea. I mean, you have to tell everyone what happened, right? And there has to be a way out somewhere. Just follow someone and get out, and go let Aspen know how to get back in here. He needs to know so he can save Vaughn's sister as soon as possible, right? Silas sounded reluctant but said, okay. But maybe this is the way out. We can go together and come back with more people. We were just supposed to gather information anyway, right? Rouge looked at the huge sinister door. I don't think this is the exit, Silas. Then we should just skip it. We don't have to open all the doors. We just need to get away. There's something really, really important behind this ginormous door, Silas. My thiefy senses are tingling like crazy. I need to know what's in there. Rouge's fingers were starting to twitch at her sides, and her lockpicks were already out and prepared. You really don't, Rouge? Really, really? The bat's voice was pleading. I bet all the doors in here look like that. Except the exit. The exit is probably pretty, with blue clouds and sunshine painted on it. Or maybe it's just a regular door, made of regular wood, with a handle. Come on, Rouge. Let's go find the plain old brown door that, Silas broke off as Rouge quickly checked the handle, and when the door didn't budge, slipped a lockpick into the large ornate keyhole. Lockpicking is disabled in this area. Attempt failed. Your lockpick has broken. Oh, sassafras and salt. I forgot about that. Silas sounded hopeful again when she answered. Forgot what? They locked down the best thief skills in this area. Now how am I supposed to? Rouge trailed off as she saw something in her inventory that she'd gotten as a quest reward while she was still in the tutorial. A skeleton key. Everyone got one, and usually you used it to open the treasure chest you also received at the end of the quest, which couldn't be opened any other way. Rouge, however, had heard that the chest only contained 100 to 1,000 gold, and to her, the skeleton key was invaluable. Sure, you could buy or sell one for around 800 gold in the auction house, but she didn't have 800 gold, and she sure wasn't likely to get that much by opening the little treasure chest. So she kept them both, chest unopened in the bank and key safely tucked away, taking up a single slot of precious space in her inventory. Waiting for today. The deceptively simple-looking item appeared in her hand, and Rouge held it up, examining it for the last time. Skeleton key, a key with a classic design. The head is shaped like a skull. This is a single-use item that will open anything with a keyhole. Weight 1 ounce. Rarity, very rare. Rouge raised it to her lips and kissed its creepy little skull, then inserted it into the golden keyhole. With a nearly inaudible click, the lock opened, and the key shattered to dust in her hand. Torn between a desire to giggle gleefully and an urge to sob at the loss, Rouge simply pushed the heavy black and gold door gently, trying to peer around it as unobtrusively as possible. Her attempt failed miserably as it swung wide, revealing the room to her, and her to the occupant of the room. The figure was seated at a desk topped with neat stacks of scrolls and books. One hand, covered in aged skin like fine yellow parchment, held a soft golden quill dipped in carmine ink. The rest of the figure was concealed by what looked like a full-body variant of the hood the rest of the cultists wore. Around the hem of the robe, where it draped down over a comfortable-looking black chair, was a yellow gold trim. As the door swung open, the robed person looked up, and a gentle elderly voice emerged from the darkness of the hood. "Ah, there you are, my dear. I had wondered when you would arrive. Come in." The feather pen was carefully wiped, then placed neatly on the paper on which the person had been working. The wrinkled hand gestured in invitation. Rouge gulped. "Ah, me, sir? Ah, ma'am?" A creaking laugh came from the darkness beneath the cowl. "Oh, oh, oh. That old, am I?" Rouge took one careful step into the room, glancing around sidelong as she did. She seemed to be in some kind of extremely ornate receiving room. At one end of the chamber, which was easily 50 feet long and nearly as wide, with a vaulted ceiling lost in gloom overhead, sat a towering golden throne. She couldn't really make out any details, but it seemed that any normal-sized person would be dwarfed by the massive seat. Certainly the little old person at the desk would have a hard time even getting up into the thing. No. Rouge slid to the side, trying to stay away from the being as they rose to their feet. She knew better than to underestimate old people. Her grandma seemed ancient, but she could swat little fingers away from cookie dough with the speed of a striking snake. The girl squinted at the old person, trying to see if their name would give her any hints, but nothing appeared. That cloak hood thing seemed even more effective than the regular hood at blocking identify. "You may call me Panganoon." "They didn't tell you?" "Oh. She. He. They think I'm someone else." Rouge's fingers lifted to touch the edge of the red-trimmed hood she had forgotten she was even wearing, and her shoulders relaxed a little. There was no way for this person to tell who she was, or even that she wasn't human, while she had this thing on her head, right? She'd even built her avatar, without the telltale eyes that glowed faintly in the dark that full-blooded elves had. She tried for a little curtsy, which turned into a bobbing bow as she realized she didn't have on a dress. No. Panganoon. I just. She gestured at the door helplessly, and Panganoon clicked their tongue in chastisement. "I guess that's what happens when you're part of a secret organization, eh?" Again the creaky laugh, encouraging Rouge to join in the slightly self-deprecating humor. "I," Rouge cleared her throat when her voice cracked and tried again. "I guess so." Panganoon moved away from the desk, walking slowly toward the monumental throne. A yellowed hand, long fingernails thick but clean and smoothly curved, gestured for her to follow. "Come along then, child. Come along. It won't do to be late." Rouge warily walked along behind, staying as far away as she could, without looking like she would rather be running the other direction as quickly as possible. Which she would. Because in spite of this being's advanced age, seemingly gentle demeanor and sense of humor, she had never wanted so badly to be anywhere in the world but where she was right now. If her thief sense had told her there was something very important in this room, her girl senses were telling her she was in over her head and needed to run. "Silas, go!" She sent frantically, as she saw the bent figure pass through a low opening that had been concealed by the throne until they were almost upon it. "Why? That guy's creepy, but it's okay so far," her friend sent back. "There's something really, really wrong. I mean, more than all the rest of this has been wrong. You need to go, and I'll—" Rouge stopped, stunned, as she crossed into the room behind the throne. There, in a space that made the cavern in which the induction had been held seem tiny, lay a dragon. A dragon who looked half-dead, with smoke-colored scales broken and dangling, suppurating flesh visible beneath. Its body was as big as the life-size blue whale sculpture Rouge's dad had taken her to see when they were visiting her Uncle Milo in California. The dragon's head lay at what seemed an impossible distance away, at the end of a serpentine neck, and just the head was almost as large as a truck. One eye was gone, leaving a black cavern filled with glistening goo, and Rouge would have sworn she saw something move in there. She was fighting nausea when the other eye, an incongruously brilliant salon sapphire blue, blinked open. "Is it that time again?" The power of the mental voice, even defeated and exhausted as it was, nearly knocked her from her feet. Panganoon chuckled happily, reaching out and patting the beast familiarly on its snout. The lip rolled up in a half-hearted growl that sent shudders down her back and revealed rows of arm-length teeth, still white and sharp in faded and receding red gums. "There, there. We're nearly done, I think, and won't you be glad when we don't have to do this anymore?" The huge eye rolled, then slitted almost closed as a rattling sigh shook the huge body. Rouge could see the skin between the ribs pull taut as the beast struggled to breathe. For all her terror, she felt a horrible, wrenching pity as well. Panganoon turned back to her, their previous goodwill and humor entirely gone. "Well, girl? Well? Get on with it." The seemingly decrepit old person stepped between her and the door through which they'd entered, a sudden dark power crackling around hands that abruptly looked more clawed than elderly. Rouge crouched, backing away from the insane cultist. Her eyes darted wildly as she tried to find some way out that didn't require going through one of them. "Do what? Did you really think we don't know when someone enters our province uninvited, child?" Panganoon raised hands whose power made the surrounding air ripple as if it was hotter than an asphalt road during a record-breaking heat wave. Rouge's mombele appeared in her hand in response. "Did you really think we'd just let you wander around, uncontested, until you could return to whatever rat hole you came from? The only reason, the man," and now that the voice was louder, Rouge definitely felt it was more masculine than feminine, stepped forward, causing Rouge to back up instinctively. She only realized what she was doing when she felt her back press against the cold, hard side of the dying dragon. Panganoon went on, "The only reason you got this far was because you so conveniently arrived at feeding time." A scream tore from Rouge's throat as she felt something punch through her chest. Looking down, she saw a broken gray claw protruding from beneath her ribcage. Her mombele dropped from her hands as she clutched at the bloody talon. She barely had time to hear Silas shout her name before her vision went black. "You have been dealt 1,923 points of damage by Greater Dragon. You have died."